contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Won't you grab your Bible while we're standing and while we still have a thankful heart? Amen. Grab your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 17. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. I like that song, don't you? Now let the weak say, I am strong. And the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Hallelujah. Amen. Looking at Luke chapter 17, we're going to ask you to stand and let us read verse number 11 through verse number 19. It's a good Thanksgiving message. You might have heard it before. You're going to hear it again. Good sermon. It's like a good song. That's it. Sing it over again. Amen. I want to thank God for all of you, for our visitors and friends, for our family. Thank God for Living Word Church, the deacons, deaconesses, ministers, ministry of music, to my wife, to all of you. Grace and peace from my Father, and let his peace be multiplied in your hearts and in your lives, in Jesus' name. You have Luke 17, verse 11. Say, I have the word. And I'm ready to receive it. Chapter 17, verse 11 says, and it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into the certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And when he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were not there 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give God glory. Glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Amen. God is good. Amen. And the grass wither, the flower fadeth away, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Amen. All right. I want to use for a thought this morning. I've got a reason to go back and tell the Lord, thank you. Amen. Luke chapter 17, Jesus opens up by warning us that there will be offenses in the world. He said that there are going to be stuff that's going to happen, but don't worry about it. Then he goes on to talk to us. And to the disciples at that time, he talked to them about forgiveness. He says, your brother do something, and he repents to you. If he comes, you need to forgive him. And then he goes on to say, if he does it 7 times in a day, that each time he comes back, you should what? Forgive him. But many times we say, now you do that one more time. I let you go this time. But then he goes on to talk even further about our obligation to God should not be conditional. Our obligation to God should not be because he blesses us with something. It should not be because when we do what we are supposed to do, God should say, okay, here you go. Amen. And so when you look at the church world today, many people do things just so they can get something from God. We look at God as a spiritual Santa Claus, and God, I want to be on your nice list and not your naughty list. And we want him to bless us because we do good deeds. Do you know that if we just seek him first, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and these things shall be added. God will add to your life regardless. Amen. But do your part. Do what you're supposed to do, and he will take care of you. Amen. So Jesus talks to them about all these things. He talks about their obligation. He says that if you're a servant, the master should not tell the servant, thank you for doing what he's supposed to do anyway. Amen. So should God tell you thanks because you were able to forgive somebody? Should you feel like you're privileged or that you have something extra that you're supposed to have because you've served, you came to church? Amen. Listen, it's not because you do something, but God loves you so much that he does for you anyway. He didn't have to give you mercy this morning, but he woke you up and gave you a brand new mercy. He didn't have to give you grace through Jesus because we were not good enough. Amen. But he gave us grace because he loved us. Amen. And when we understand the steadfast love of the Lord, then we'll be able to do better and live better. Amen. Now, then Jesus comes to a place as he's traveling. He's going up to Jerusalem. He's going to the place of worship. He's going to Jerusalem. And as he passed, he comes to a place in the midst of Samaria and Galilee. In other words, he came to a place just passing through. He was just passing through, and on the drive-by, on the ride-by, on the pass-by, Jesus does something for some people, and he's not even intending to do anything but pass by. We got to think about this in our lives when we pass by people, when we go to work and do our average routine, our daily routine. What are we doing? Are we just going to do our routine and we don't want to be bothered to get out of our routine? What are we doing for the passers-by, the people we pass by? Amen. What are we doing to help them along the way? There were some people there that society had forgotten about. There are some people there that society forgotten about, and that they were better. They felt better that these people weren't in society. Amen. And so when we look at verse 11, and I'm getting to it, we look at verse 11, we're going to examine and look at their condition. He says, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And so he passed through Samaria and Galilee on his way. And verse 12 says, as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 lepers, men that were lepers, 10 of them, which stood afar off. Look at their condition. They were lepers. They were, as he entered into a certain village, they weren't actually in the village, but they had to go outside the village. They couldn't even live amongst the people because the law declared that they could not. Amen. Their condition was they had a disease, and whatever diseases us, we need to look at this and apply this to ourselves. But they had a disease that was deeper than the skin. They had a flesh problem. My God, today. We sometimes have flesh problems. Sometimes we have diseases that are deeper than what you can see on the outside. Some of us is down in our heart. Amen. They had a flesh problem. Amen. And so their disease, what you saw on the outside, was a result of what was really going on deeper down on the inside. And sometimes when people act out and they respond and they do certain things, it's not because of something on the outside, but it's something wrong on the inside. Amen. They had a deep disease that was deeper than the skin. They were defiled. They were men that were considered defiled, and they had to distance themselves. They had to be 50 feet away from anybody. They had to label themselves and say unclean. They had to have a label on to say they wasn't no good, that you had to stay away from them. Come on and say amen. You know how society is. That's what they do now. They label people and you got to stay away from this one and you can't be around that one. Come on and say amen. And guess what? They were not only distanced, but they were doomed because of their condition. They had a common affliction and they hung together. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. But their leprosy was a death sentence. It's kind of like in that day, it's kind of like in this day when people talk about the big C and they panic. It was something like that. But it was a disease that they believed that only God can heal you from. There was no medicine to cure it. So they had to have a miracle. These guys, in their condition, they had a common affliction that brought them together. You know, the world is better at coming together than the church. Because if it's nothing but a bottle, the world can get together over a bottle. Preach anyway. If it's some type of, if it's food, the world can get together over food. If it's a drug, they can get together on a drug. Come on and say amen. If it's money, they will come together. If it's power, they will come together. All for whatever one purpose. But we have one purpose that's better than any purpose the world has, but we fail to come together. The purpose we come together is to worship God, but we don't always get to do that. Look around us today. Look how empty we are today, man. I don't know if it's because we have fair weather saints or whatever, but something happened, amen, that we don't want to come together when we are supposed to. Oh, come on and say amen. Let me hit on this. Every trail ride, people will come together. Every black rodeo, people will come together. Every homecoming party, people will come together. Come on and say amen. Every Christmas party, ain't got nobody mentioning Jesus, but we having a party in his name. Every Easter parties, come on and say hallelujah. They come together for whatever reason. You just make up a reason, and they'll come together. Ice cream party, let's go. We got to see this. The world come together for whatever reason. But when it comes to coming together for God, we can always think of something else better to do. Boy, that's a shame on us. Oh, hallelujah. But their condition brought them together, and sometimes we need to see something. Take a lesson from them. Their condition brought them together. What about our condition? Our condition, the condition we're in now, we're saved. That should bring us together. Oh, my God, yeah. Your condition that you're filled with the Holy Spirit and whatever you're going through, God can bring you through it. He's brought you out. Your testimony, all of this stuff should bring us together. These men were hanging together because they had no choice. They didn't have nobody else. Amen. But Jesus didn't think like the rest of the people. He didn't just say, oh, well, they're just some lepers. Let's just go on by them. But look at this. He says in verse 13, it says, verse 12 said, they stood afar off. They had to, because the law told them to stay off. They obeyed the law. But then look at this. In verse 13, he says, they lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, they cried. Their condition didn't stop them from crying out. Many of us, we get in a situation and our circumstances cause us not to want to cry out to God. We just figure out how to do it on our own. We'll just go and do something our own self. But we need to learn to call on him. Now, when they called on him, you have to understand something. They cried out to him. And it was very hard for them to lift up their voice and be loud enough that he would hear them, because the leprosy attacked their vocal cords. The leprosy attacked their vocal cords to the point that whenever they were to lift up their voice, it caused a raspiness, and they sounded like a person with laryngitis. They were hoarse. And so they lifted up their voices. They had to do it together in order for him to hear them. Amen? So they lift up their voices, and they cry out, and they say, Master, or Apistata, which means master or rabbi, and it also means chief commander, who's able, who has the power to meet the need. They wasn't just saying, hey, master. They wasn't just trying to get a favor done. They said, you're well capable, well able of doing what we need you to do. And sometimes we have to realize that only God is able to do what we need him to do. You can't run to people. You can't quit getting mad at folks because they can't do it. Only God can do this. Come on. Quit getting upset with people if they can't help you. If they can't help you, only God can help you. Why don't you put your trust in God? Stop trusting people. The very center verse of the Bible in Psalm 118 verse 18 tells us that don't put your trust in man, but put your trust in God. Let me tell you something. I'm going to give you something now that'll help you out later. I may not be able to help you, so don't get mad with me. You need to put your trust in God. Only God can do those things you need him to do. Amen. And if I do help, guess what? It's because God empowered me. And he enabled me to be able to help. And so I put my trust in God. They called on him because he was able. He was the chief commander who had the power to meet their needs. And we need to know that God is our chief commander. He has the power to meet our needs. And whatever we have, whatever needs we have, Paul said in Philippians, he tells us that my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. And so we need to trust that God can supply the need. The reason why, because he has riches. Amen. That means that he never runs out. He's never bankrupt. He's never deficient of what you need. He always has what you need. If you need joy, some of us thought we need money and all you needed was joy to get you through the day. Come on and say amen. You thought you needed a friend, but all you needed was God, a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. You thought that you needed somebody to rub your back, and God said, you got my love, for I love you more than you can love yourself. He said, we're more than conquerors through him that loves us. We thought we needed something else. You thought you needed a gun. And God said, great is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do I have any witnesses this morning? I got a reason to tell the Lord thank you. He heard their cry. See, the Jews, they were like some of us church folk. They attributed their condition to the sin that they might have committed. Mm-hmm. We got to get past that. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that there is no condemnation into them that are in Christ Jesus, that walk not in the flesh but after the Spirit of God. We have to get to a point that we stop looking at, oh, I did something bad, so that's why I'm suffering. Okay, if God is still holding that against you, then his word can't be true. Let me tell you why. He said that he'll take your sin. When you repent, he put it in the sea of forgetfulness. He don't remember it anymore. He washes it away. So if you take your clothes that's been stained and you wash that stain out, do you put it back on because you remember the stain? I'm going to cover it up because there was a stain on it. No, there's no more stain. So you can wear it and nobody even know that the stain was there. You don't even know which side of the shirt it was on. And so God does not remember that the stain used to be there. My God. You remember I told you the story a while back that there was a woman in South America. She was in a village and she told the bishop that God had spoke to her. And the bishop told the priest. And the priest told the bishop, and the bishop said, next time she tells you that, you need to ask her, what did I say in my last confession, since she say that God talks to her. And then she prayed, and she went back to the priest, and she said, tell the bishop that God said that he don't remember. God don't remember those things. And guess what? He chooses not to remember so that he can love you the way he loves you. Help me, Holy Ghost. That's something to tell him thank you for. And so we got to quit looking at our condition as a reason to say, well, you know what? It was because of the deep sin I was in. Amen. You know what? God can do anything but fail, lie, and die. He can take you out of that condition. He can fix your situation. Amen. And guess what? Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And if that is the case, then I need to quit remembering what I did last year so I can be a productive Christian this year. I can't pray because I'm thinking about what I did before. I can't pray for you because I'm thinking I ain't right enough. Guess what? We ain't none of us right enough. At our best, we're as filthy rags, but thanks be to God that Jesus Christ has washed away our sin by the blood. Now, I got a reason. I don't know about nobody else to tell the Lord thank you. Oh, hallelujah. We look at that, and he says in verse 13, they said, they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They knew that they had a condition that might not have been right. But they said, you know what? We want the mercies of the Lord. They said, we want God's mercy because mercy suits the case. When you look at mercy, mercy is God giving you something. He forgiving you for your sins and giving you what you really don't deserve here. He's holding it back. You deserve to die. Amen. You deserve to be sick. Amen. You deserve to go to hell. But guess what? His mercy says no. You remember that song, Your Grace and Mercy. Amen. For some reason, this mic changed up on me. Amen. But the scripture says he'll have mercy on us. Give me that one. Amen. And so as the scripture says, has mercy on us, sometimes that's all we can say is, Lord, have mercy. Sometimes that's all we can do is call on the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy. But when he does have mercy, what do we do? Do we go back to what we used to go to? Do we go back and become what we was before we had our condition and our situation and the things that diseased us before we find ourselves right back in that situation again, only to cry out, Lord, have mercy. But guess what about God? He will still come and have mercy on you no matter how many times. The Bible said that the just man falleth what? 7 times, but he gets back up. The person who don't get back up is the sinner. The person who can't get back up is the one who's going to hell. Come on and say amen. But the one who gets back up and say, Lord, I really don't deserve it, but I know that you love me. Lord, I really am no good, but I thank you that you've given me your grace and your mercy. Lord God, I was a wretch undone, but thanks be to you that you washed this away from me, and now I can come and give you thanks for all that you've done in my life. Hallelujah. Verse 14, when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Look at this. We understand that they had a bad condition, but they weren't afraid to cry out. And when they cried out, it got his attention. You think God will ignore you? So many people think, well, I don't think God hearing me. Do you know that he know what you're going to pray? Before you open your mouth to speak, do you know that God knows the very hairs on your head, how many there are? Do you know that God knows your days, how many you'll have on earth? And so nothing surprises God, even when you mess up. I don't know why I said that, but you know, even when you mess up, it don't surprise him. That's why he's giving you grace. Lord, help me here. He says, when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourself to the priest. What was Jesus saying? He was giving them a command because he had compassion. When the Lord has compassion on you, he commands you to do something. Oh, yeah, he said, go show yourself to the priest. He answered them, and you know, that was enough for them. The fact that he was able to say, go show yourself to the priest, that was enough for them. They had enough faith and enough trust that what he said, we need to obey it. You see, they knew the law, and they had obeyed the law. But it's not until you obey God's word that he speak the rhema word from God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. You may know what the Bible say, but until you hear the word preached, you can't get any results. Come on and say amen. The devil knows what the Bible says too, but he don't come to church to hear it preached. Oh, yeah, the Bible said faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You got to be able to hear a word and know what God is saying in order to get the results you're looking for in your life. They heard the word. They went and they had to go to the same person that put them out the church. They had to go back to the same person that said, you're unclean, you can't live here anymore. They had to go back to the same person that said, you need to get at least 50 feet away from everybody and don't approach them. Come on and say amen. The same person that took them away from their family that said, you can't go home anymore. They had to go back to the same one and show themselves. Now, that's a walk of faith. Now, you just put me out of here knowing that I'm unclean, but I'm supposed to approach you and let you examine me to see that I'm clean. See, whenever they were a leper, they were put out. The priest had to deem them unclean. But when they were thinking that they were healed, they had to go back and see the priest because only God can do the healing. And the priest would look them over and say, you know what? You are clean. You are healed. And so they had to go back, and it took faith, because the thing about leprosy is disease. It starts on the inside. And when it's at its worst, you start to lose things on the outside. You start to lose your nose, your ears. Come on and say amen. You lose your fingertips, your fingers, your feet, all of this. You start losing stuff, amen? And sometimes when we have a leprosy, spiritual leprosy, we start to lose things. We become where we can't hear because we lost an ear. Or we become where we can't discern because we lost our nose. We can't walk right, and we can't walk worthy of the vocation because we've lost our feet. Come on and say amen. So we can't afford to have spiritual leprosy. I need to go show myself to Jesus. Come before the Lord.
because I'm healed. Amen. And so the priest would deem them whole, deem them healed. And so when he told them to go, you got to understand, he told them to go in faith because they knew they were sick. They knew they had a condition that caused them to be separated from the rest of the world. They knew they had a condition that caused them not to be a part of society, not to be able to go to church, not to be able to see their family. They were given bread that was just thrown to them, and they had to fight over it. Oh, come on and say amen. And so here it is. They had to have faith in order to go see the priest. They had to believe that what Jesus said was true. All he said was, go show yourself. That's it. He said, go show yourself to the priest. He didn't say, well, if you walk around 4 times and jump up 3 times, if you do this 6 times, then I'm going to heal you. And see, that's why I differ with so many of these people who claim that they have so much power that they tell you, you need to run around 7 times. Okay, now God just did it. Because God can do it with a word. The scripture says he sent his word and healed us. Lord, help me. Y'all making it hard on me this morning. He had a command because he had compassion. And when God tells you to do something, he's telling you to do it because he loves you. He's telling you because of the compassion he has for you. And so if God has commanded us to do something, it's for our own good. Some people think that God is telling us to do something because he want to make our life hard, because we don't need to have fun in the Lord. But God is saying, yes, I want you to have fun. I want you to enjoy your love. Loved ones, your friends. I want you to enjoy church. I want you to have a good time. But I want you to be blessed also. So I'm giving you a command. I'm teaching you that you ought to love your neighbor as yourself so that you won't walk around with bitterness and then you can't enjoy yourself. You can't even walk down the aisle in Walmart because you're so bitter that when you see that person, you turn the other way. Oh, come on and say amen. You're so bitter and you're so full of unforgiveness that you can't say one kind word to them. Come on and say hallelujah. God is saying, I don't want you like that. But what I really want, I want you to be able to love everybody in spite of what they've done. I want you to love your enemies. I want you to know how to repent to people when you've done something you shouldn't have done. I want you to be humble. I want you to be submissive so that you can have a good life. The Bible says that with everything in us, try to walk in peace with all men. Look at this. He says, go show yourself to the priest. And it came to pass, I like this, that as they went, they were cleansed. He didn't wave his hand over them. He didn't do no abracadabras. But he says, as they obeyed him, they begin to see a change. Oh my God. They'll begin to obey him. And when you start obeying God, you'll start seeing a change in your life. Oh, yeah. Anybody that don't want to obey God, they don't want to change. Whenever you start telling people about what thus said the Lord and they say, I don't really want to hear that, they are really saying, I don't want to change. I really like how I am. Amen. You know, and we got to get to a place that if they're saying that, then we got to, you know, we can shake the dust from our feet. You know that, don't you? Amen. But we got to see here that Jesus says, he says, go show yourself. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. Amen. Now here it is in verse 15. I'm going to give you the conclusion here. Verse 15 says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. I'm almost done. This is a quick one here. The Bible says that with a loud voice, look at the conclusion here. He, with a loud voice, began to glorify God. But the thing I love about this brother here, that he was a stranger. He was a Samaritan. He was not even supposed to be subject to get the blessing because he was an outsider. Come on and say amen. We got to look at this. He saw that he was healed. See, the rest of them went so somebody else can tell them that they were healed. But this one here, he began to see a change in himself. Now, when God shows you yourself that something's going on in your life, then you ought to at least tell the Lord, thank you. You ought to at least give him some glory. Come on and say hallelujah. The conclusion here is that when you see God doing something, there's a cause for celebration. When you see God cleansing you, when you see God touching you, changing you, you ought to turn around and say, Lord, I thank you. I would have cussed them out last year, but thanks be to God, I'm changed. Oh, I hit somebody right there, boy. Oh, yeah, I would have knocked them out last year, but this year, thanks be to God that you made my hands holy, and instead of raising them to fight, I raise them to praise. Come on and say amen in here. We got to get to a point like this man. He was on his way just walking, and maybe it was because he had lost his nose, and he began to smell something. Say, I smell a blessing coming my way. Maybe it was